worship our God this morning? Hallelujah. Let's all stand and worship our God together. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength this morning.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me.
So much higher than all names. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy to be praised. The Lamb of God who was slain for our sins. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given us hope and freedom, that you have promised a future with us, Lord. In your presence, Lord, we come before you and we surrender everything that we have. We give you all of our praise, for we know that you are seeking worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. Not the end we could have known.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church, lift up your voice. Clap your hands. All ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We love you, Lord, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know God is with us this morning? You know, there's an overcast sky. There's a low sky today, but sometimes our worship punches right through the sky and it touches heaven. Listen, this is a word for somebody. The Bible doesn't just say that God inhabits the praises. He does. He does inhabit the praises of his people, but the Bible also says that God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. That means that the dominion of the Lord is here over this place. The devil has no ground here. Sickness has no ground here. Dysfunction has no ground here. Jesus is Lord in this place. God is enthroned here. Come on, would you just lift up your faces, lift up your voices, and just gently, April, help us, just gently, gently sing, "You are holy." Come on, let's sing that just gently, sweetly to the Lord. Just lift up your voice, lift up your face. "You are holy." Sing it with us. Godly counseling, good biblical counseling. But can I tell you, one moment of encounter with Jesus can fix what a decade of counseling can't fix. One encounter with Jesus can, I love doctors, I thank God, one moment of encounter with Jesus can fix what the doctors can't fix. It can fix what the expert can't fix. Aren't you thankful for his presence this morning? Amen. God bless you, everybody. We're glad you're here today. Would you take a moment, greet two or three, four people, just bless them in the name of Jesus this morning. If there's no one near you, walk a little bit, travel. Just walk an aisle or two and bless each other, and then you may be seated this morning. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm glad to see you this morning. You were away, I was away, but now we're here all together again. Be it ever so Greenwich, there's no place like home. And we really are glad to see you. I want to welcome everybody worshiping with us online this morning at this 10:45 a.m. worship service. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving. And we want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. In just a moment, the ushers are coming to wait on us for our Sunday tithes and offerings. You can use the offering envelope to give today. You can use the envelope to give by credit card or debit card or check or slip your cash inside. And if you want credit, just write your information. Now listen, I need you to help me out because sometimes people slip some cash in an offering envelope and then they write just like Smith on the outside, okay? And Ethel back in the church office has to pray for a word of knowledge so she knows which Smith is which, okay? So if you want to receive credit, just make sure you give us enough information on the envelope so that we can properly just log in your offering. And we thank you so much. Welcome to everyone worshiping with us online this morning. You can make a gift to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, hcchurch.com. Just click on the giving link at the top of the homepage and it'll guide you in making a secure gift online. During COVID, Denise and I changed all of our giving to Harvest Time Church over to our website. We've just set it up every week on the first day of the week. Our tithe to the Lord, our missions offering, our building fund offering just comes right out. And we've done it that way. Some of you do it that way. It's quite convenient. But you can go to the website and check that out. Just before the ushers come this morning, it's a big Sunday. Downstairs, we have a life group expo that is set up for you. We are getting ready to start 36 new life groups for the fall semester. We have groups for men, groups for women, groups for old men and young men and old women and young women and everybody in between, single young men and women, married young men and women. We got something for everybody downstairs, and we hope you'll go downstairs, check out all the options that are available to you. A couple of things for young adults. HT Young Adults is moving back to our house. It started at our house, moved here for a while. We're moving back to our house. We're starting this Tuesday evening. We're having the big green pizza truck on our front lawn on Tuesday evening and some lawn games. We're going to light the fire pit, weather permitting. And this is for young adults between the ages of 20 and 30, 20 and 30. Our friend Esther is starting a new group for young adults in your 30s. She's going to meet, and there's information downstairs. You can see Esther at one of the booths downstairs if you're a young adult in your 30s. We're starting a young adult worship night once a month on Sunday. The first one is this Sunday evening, and our friend Caleb Cliff is flying in from Kansas City to lead our young adults in worship this Sunday evening at 6. And that's open if you're a young adult between in your 20s or your 30s. You're welcome to come to that on Sunday evening. I just turned 57 on Friday, but I'm coming to the young adult worship night on Sunday evening in the Next Gen Sanctuary, and we'd love to see you there. Jack and Christina Corley are hosting a new dinner party for young married couples at their home in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and you can see Jack and Christina downstairs after the service and get involved with that if you like. And then this Wednesday evening, all of our Wednesday programs are back in action. This Wednesday evening, we have youth group, our HT Youth. We have Rangers for Boys, Girls Club for Young Girls. Pastor Nick is teaching a new class here in the sanctuary on the ministry of healing. How many of you know God still heals? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lots of things happening all over. Pastor Ruth is starting a new class on Wednesdays, and so I hope that you'll stay with us. It's raining anyway, so you know, stick around after the service lets out and go downstairs and check out all of our life group offerings. All right, one last thing, Big Daddy Weave. I forgot to tell the first service, remind them about Big Daddy Weave, so that means you have to buy twice as many tickets in this service. Big Daddy Weave, Thursday evening, September 21st. It's going to be a great night of worship. I don't have time, but I'll tell you a story about Big Daddy Weave next week, all right? Remind me, I'll tell you next week. No time this week. But it's going to be a great night of worship, and so I hope you'll join us. You can get tickets right out at the Welcome Center after you leave the service today. Ushers, if you'd come help us. Paul was in Lystra, that is Timothy's hometown, and he preached this. Paul said, "Turn away from worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. God has testified about himself this way. He has shown us kindness by giving us rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides us with plenty of food. How many of you know he's provided us with plenty of food? And he fills our hearts with joy. And so we give back to him today with gratitude. Let's just give thanks. Father, thank you that you lavished your very best on us in Jesus. You didn't withhold the best that you had. You offered him up for us freely. Freely we've received. So freely we give back to you this morning with glad and sincere hearts, tithes, offerings, missions giving, prepare his house funds. Father, would you bless these loaves and fishes? Would you cause them to be more than enough to meet the need of this your house and the work of your kingdom all around the world? Father, bless every giver in this offering today. Open the windows of heaven, just like you said you would do. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen? This last Wednesday evening, our Be Light ministry teams gathered here for a special night of appreciation and getting ready for the new season. Take a look at the screens, a recap of our last Wednesday evening. We appreciate everyone who serves week in and week out and makes harvest time go. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of James, the New Testament letter of James, chapter 4. James chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 11 this morning. I want to talk to you about a few things that God cares about. James chapter 4, starting in verse 11. James writes, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another." The word literally in Greek means don't talk down. Don't talk down to one another. "Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but you're sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, carry on business, and make money.' Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, for them it is a sin." Jump to chapter 5 and verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire." And all God's people said, "Yikes. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent." The word is righteous. "The righteous ones who were not opposing you." That means they persecuted Christian believers. And we'll finish our reading there. Let's talk today about a few things that God cares about. Just before I share a few thoughts with you. I want to take a moment and I want to introduce to you our new church logo. This is it. We're turning 40 in December, and I believe it's the start at the 40-year mark of a new season for our congregation, and we wanted a fresh new visual to identify our church. Some of you have had the pleasure of meeting our friends Stefan and Nicole Steiner. Stefan owns a digital media company in the city. He was a big blessing to us during the Prepare His House campaign. Several months back, Stefan introduced us to a wonderful young graphic artist who's not only a believer in Jesus, but he also has a master's degree in theology. It's fun working with a graphic artist who loves theology. And our team spent a lot of time talking with Lee about the values that we wanted to incorporate into a new logo. So I want to share with you quickly what this new logo means to us. First of all, these chevrons, these peaks, are inspired by our kids. And they represent the entrance, the front entrance to our sanctuary. During the Prepare His House campaign, we asked our kids to create posters around the theme of I Love My Church. And we were surprised that an overwhelming number of our kids drew as an image of the church, the front entrance, these three peaks of the front entrance. And we were so delighted that they associated entering into our doors with the wonderful friends that they meet here and the teachers that they interact with and the experience that they have. We liked it so much, we decided to embrace it. These three peaks represent where we enter in to worship God together. King David said, "Lift up your gates, O Jerusalem. Be lifted up, O everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in, the Lord strong and mighty." This is where we gather to encounter his presence together. This is where we pray together. This is where we learn and grow together. This is where we nurture friendships and share community. These three peaks represent the triune God whom we worship: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three peaks represent our 40-year journey thus far as a congregation. Preached last Sunday at a great church. It was my home church while I was in Bible college in Maine. It was a hopping church then. It's even more hopping now. You know, they're 100, they're turning this year 100 years old, and they've only had three pastors in 100 years. Can you possibly imagine that? So we're going on 40, and we've had two pastors so far. So hopefully I'll keep kicking a little while longer. But there's three generations, the founding generation that gave HTC our spiritual DNA in the Western Greenwich Civic Center, the middle generation that purchased this land and built our first sanctuary that grew Harvest Time from 300 people to over 1,200 people and planted Iglesia Tiempo de Cosecha and planted Propel City Church in Stanford. And now there's a new generation here in phase two. And I believe that this new generation in this sanctuary is going to realize the fulfillment of God's promise that there is a harvest here in Greenwich, in Fairfield County, in Westchester County. I want to tell you, at 40, we're better than ever, and I believe that the best days of this church are ahead of us. So this is our journey in three stages. One more very, very important thing that these three peaks represent, it's our B3 mission. Harvest Time Church is here to help people. If you know it, we're here to help people believe, belong, and be light. We're here to help people be light. We're here to help people find Christ, to receive his gift of saving faith, to discover the freedom and joy of belonging to him and to the family of God. And we're here to help people discover their calling and develop their spiritual gifts to shine as God's light in this world. We want you to be part of the B3 vision. If you're not already part of a life group, If you're not on a dream team, a ministry serving team, go downstairs as soon as the service is over. There are lots of opportunities to join a group, belong to a group. Our men's Wednesday night men's group is meeting again back in the man cave, one of my favorite groups. Lots of things, lots of options available. And join one of our Be Light teams and serve in a ministry. We're not a massive church, but we're just big enough that it can be hard for folks to find their place in the body. And getting on a serve team is a great way to meet new people. This week, we're launching a brand new website. Look for it about the middle of the week. The website will change out completely. You'll see something fresh and new. We have new pens for you. So for those of you that have massive stockpiles of the old pens, and you know who you are, I don't know what happened, but the Spirit of the Lord fell on some people, and there was a Facebook confessional a couple weeks ago. Some of you have like 100 of the old pens at your house. Keep them. You use them till the ink runs out. And we have some new pens for you. And I just hope that every time, is this all right that I share this with you? Is it all right? I know we're, but every time you see these three chevrons, I hope that you'll think of what they mean to us. All right, let's talk about these verses in James. James is a practical pastoral letter. It addresses areas of practical Christian living. And in these verses we read, James tells us that God cares about three things. And I want to share them with you quickly. You have an outline of today's sermon. If you'd like an outline at home, there's a link to a PDF file in the chat section. Three things that God cares about. First, this: God cares that we treat each other with love and honor. God cares that we treat each other with love and honor. You know, sometimes believers today read the New Testament and they have an unrealistic idea of what the early church was like. For one thing, they think that the early church was unstructured. The early church was not unstructured. The early church had appointed, recognized, equipped leaders from the very beginning. The early church had an order to their worship. They had a liturgy. They had a schedule of meetings. They had standards for their fellowship and their worship services. The early church wasn't unstructured. Another unrealistic picture that people have is they think that the early church had perfect unity and perfect harmony with no wrinkles, with no conflicts between believers. And we know from all of the New Testament letters that just wasn't so. You know, someone said to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with saints we know, now that's another story. The early church wasn't perfect, and neither are we. James was the half-brother of Jesus. He was the pastor of the Jerusalem church, the first church. And within a decade of Jesus' life, James is addressing brothers and sisters on the problem of criticism in the church, criticism among believers. Now listen, as believers in Jesus, God wants us to use good judgment. It's necessary for us to make judgments about some things. Jesus is explicit about that in the Sermon on the Mount. What James is addressing in these verses is a negative, unkind, fault-finding, judgmental, critical culture among Christians. How many of you have ever been part of or witnessed a church where there is just a negative, critical, harsh, unkind environment? That is what James is addressing. Brothers and sisters talking smack about one another and to one another. James's words literally mean stop talking down to one another. So my very first presidential election was in 1984. I turned 18 in September, and that November I proudly cast my vote for Ronald Reagan. That makes me 57, just to save you doing the math in your head there. So Ronald Reagan, a few of you are old enough to know this. Ronald Reagan used to talk about the 11th commandment. Anybody here ever hear of Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment? That was, thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican. So listen, if it's important to preserve the unity of a party that is gathered around political aspirations and political ideals, how much more critical is it for us to preserve the unity of the body of Christ that has been predetermined by the will of God, bought with the blood of Jesus, and formed and maintained by the work of the Holy Spirit? It matters to God that we treat one another with love and with honor. James says to have an unkind, fault-finding, critical spirit is to disregard the law of love. In chapter 2, verse 8, James calls it the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. To ignore the law of love is to place myself above that law. That doesn't apply to me. I don't have to follow that. I don't have to do what it says. And to do that is to make myself on par with God himself. God is no longer determining which rules I obey. I'm picking and choosing. You know, God cares that in his family we have a culture of respect, of honor, of dignity, of warmth, of love. Jesus said, this is how the world will know that you're my disciples, if there's a culture of love among you. This is not in my notes. I'm going to go off-road. I've been away for a little bit, so give me permission to go off-road for just a minute. We had a woman come to our church many years back in our old building who was a bona fide Wiccan. She was a bona fide, wore a pentagram, hung out with other Wiccans. They did, when there was a full moon, they literally, I'm sorry to be this graphic, but took their clothes off and walked around in circles outside under the full moon, did all of these things. And she lived in the same townhouse complex as one of our members. And our member started praying for this woman. I think for about a year, she was just praying for her every day to know Jesus. And at that time, we were doing Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. We did it in home Bible studies. We had like 50 home Bible studies across the area. And our member invited this Wiccan to come to her group in her home. And the Wiccan accepted the invitation for the sole purpose of disrupting the group. Her plan was to just come in and cause chaos, just, you know, talk over everything. So the first group meeting came, and our intercessors, Dr. Robin, were here in this church praying for all the groups that were launching that night, and especially for that group and for that woman. And you know, when she came into our members' home, the Holy Spirit arrested her, and she sat and could not speak. She couldn't say a word the entire meeting. So she wondered, what kind of power is this? So she started coming on Sunday mornings, and then her Jewish husband started coming with her, and then both of them received Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And she said this. She said, you know, it wasn't really anything that anybody said. It wasn't any sermons or teachings or anything. But she said, whenever I was in that home Bible study or here at church, she said, I felt a love that I have never felt anywhere else in my life. She said, I compared that with the Wiccan group that I was hanging out with, and there was no love there. But she said, I felt the love of God, the warmth of God here in this place. This is how Wiccans will know. This is how secular humanists will know. This is how people from other religions, this is how they'll know that we are Jesus' disciples if there is a culture of love and honor here in this place. All right, I need to have a heart-to-heart talk with you this morning, and I hope you'll still love me when we're done. I ran this by the first service, and they're not really the problem, but I ran this talk by them, and they gave me the permission to have this talk with you. There's something that I'm feeling a little bit grieved about. The brothers that help out in our parking lot have shared with me that it's a jungle out there on Sunday mornings, coming in especially to the 10:45 worship service. So much so that one of our very precious brothers recently left the parking lot team because he is legit afraid that he's going to get run over by an angry driver in the HTC parking lot. Guys, I gotta tell you, seriously, like, as your pastor, I don't know what to do with that. Like, you know, this isn't Yankee Stadium. Like, this is church. So we have a parking lot situation. We're getting ready to repave the entire parking lot. I thank God everything's coming in line, and we expect to be able to repave the parking lot sometime around the end of this month of September, which is just an amazing thing. It's going to help a great deal, and we're going to ask you to help out. If you made a pledge to the Prepare His House campaign, if you can do something this month, it would really help us. This is the biggest piece of work that we set out to accomplish, and we're in position now to move forward with it. And it'll help things for sure. But the truth is, the problem is the parking lot is full in second service. All summer long, we've been tracking the number of available spaces. And even with folks away on summer vacation, there were some Sundays this summer that we only had 14 available parking spaces during the second service. So that's not enough when everybody comes back together for the fall. And listen, we have a lot of little kids running around, okay? There's small children everywhere. So I just beg of you, I don't know what else to do, but to beg of you as your pastor, would you please, please treat our parking lot attendants with love and honor? Would you please treat one another with love and honor? If you're not happy with the way they're directing traffic, would you just cool it and cooperate? Would you just calm down? And I have an amazing, amazing, amazing idea for you. Maybe if you left your house 5 or 10 minutes earlier on Sunday, it's easy for me because I live 400 feet down the road, and I come at 7 in the morning. But listen, I want to say from my heart, I hope this is all right. Do you love me? If you ignore God's law of love out in the parking lot, and you put yourself above the law, and you put yourself in an equal position with God, how then can you come in here and bring him your offering of praise? It matters to God. All right, sermon ended. Not the whole sermon, just that part, all right? A few things that matter to God. It matters, love and honor matter to him. Here's another thought. God, I like this part. This is my, you know, it always gets better. It always gets worse and then it gets better. So God cares that we submit all our plans and priorities to him. God cares that we submit all our plans and priorities to him. The Roman Empire created opportunities for interstate commerce that never existed previously in the world. There were good roads, there were open borders, there was relatively safe travel, there was common currency, there was a common language, and the Jewish people, who are especially industrious, seized upon those opportunities. Lydia, who hosted the church in Philippi in her home, was a traveling businesswoman. Priscilla and Aquila, partners of Paul, whom he met in the city of Corinth, but they were originally from Rome, they were traveling business people. And James uses business travelers as an example of making plans without prayer. He said that these traveling business people have plans that are very precise and carefully devised. We'll go over here, we'll stay this long, we'll do business, and we're going to make a killing. The problem is, God was nowhere in their plans. God wasn't invited into the planning process. His will, his purposes weren't factored into the plans. God wasn't a priority in the plans. Profit was the priority. Now listen. Listen, listen, listen. God is all in favor of prophets. He's all in favor of you pursuing and attaining prophets and then using them to support his prophets, okay? But God wants us to invite him into our pursuits so that we can benefit from his partnership. How many of you know it's good to be business partners with God? James says, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen in the world. We don't know what's going to happen in our own lives. We don't know what's going to happen with governments. We don't know what's going to happen with the global economy. We don't know what's going to happen in society. We don't know what's going to happen in our own health. We don't know what's going to happen in our own family. If the last few years have taught us anything at all, it's how quickly the things that we rely upon can change in a moment. In 2019, Pastor Denise and I did a pastor's conference in Western Ukraine. They invited us back in 2020, and we were looking forward to going, and then COVID shut down the whole world for 2 years. And then Putin launched a brutal, unjust invasion that neither the Ukrainian nor the Russian people wanted. In 2021, HTC refinanced our mortgage at under 4%. What a miracle of God that is, that with the interest rates doubled now, we're paying under 4%. But as part of that refinance, the church had to take out a big insurance policy on me. So I don't know whether it's good for me that the board knows that I'm worth more dead than alive. I'm not sure. That's not a very comfortable position to be in. But one of the stipulations of that policy is that I am expressly forbidden to travel to Ukraine, along with some other hotspots in the world. So in 2019, we thought that maybe ministry in Ukraine was going to become a regular thing, and now we don't know if we will ever have the privilege of ministering there again. But I trust by God's grace. You know what? If we pay off the mortgage, then I can go back and minister in Ukraine, okay? So how about we do that? James says our lives are just missed. Last weekend, I was up on the Canadian border. I was in Houlton, Maine. Denise and I did a wedding there for an HTC couple. And then I spent a couple of days teaching at my alma mater, Faith Bible College. And I had 7:30, because they don't love me much, I had 7:30 a.m. classes every morning. When Denise and I left the hotel, there was, you know what that Klingon morning fog is on your windshield? You know, like nothing gets rid of it. We had this Klingon fog, like the wipers wouldn't take it, the windshield wash, the defrosters, we couldn't get rid of this Klingon fog. And then as we made our way out to the Bible college, we passed through several low-lying areas, and the morning mist, the morning fog was so thick that at one moment we really couldn't see 2 feet in front of the car, and we drove a little further and poof, it was completely gone. The Bible says that's what our lives are like. For one brief instance, we have presence and we have substance. To some, we're even a nuisance. And then poof, we're gone. It really boils down to a matter of self-reliance versus trust in the Lord. King Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your, you know it, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Do you know what it really says in Hebrew? In Hebrew, it says, "In all your footpaths, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your highways." Footpaths is Hebrew idiom for our daily routines, the daily rhythms of our life, our daily habits, our daily schedules, our daily decisions, even our very thoughts travel on footpaths, neural pathways in our brain. In all your footpaths, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your highways. In other words, if we acknowledge God in our daily routines and our daily decisions, if we seek him daily, then he will show up and he will guide us when it's time to make major life decisions. Thank you. Thank you, JP. I thought in first service, I thought I was at Wimbledon, not Wimbledon, but the US Open. The crowd was so quiet. All right, I don't want to belabor this, but I do need to teach you something. It's called Deo Volente. You say that with me? It's Latin. Deo volente. It means God willing. In the 16th and 17th centuries, the Puritans in England adopted the custom of adding the words Deo volente, God willing, to any plans that they discussed. Following on their heels, the Methodists in the 17th and 18th centuries kept the same custom, but they abbreviated Deo volente to DV. So on all of the correspondence between one another, between ministers, planning services, setting dates, they would add as their complimentary closing, DV, Deo volente. They passed out handbills introducing Big Daddy Weave on September 21st. Buy tickets for Big Daddy Weave, September 21st. They would pass out handbills for their meetings, and on the bottom of the handbills, it would say DV, Deo volente, posters on polls, advertising meetings, DV. As a boy, do we have any Pentecostals in this church? As a boy, I was taught to always add the words God willing to any plans. Anybody, Pastor Ruth is with me. Anybody else, Patty, you're with me. And yeah, Kara Priestes, you know. I was taught, I was taught to add the words God willing when we were talking about future plans. But listen. Deo volente, God willing, it needs to be more than just lip service. That expression needs to be backed up by a sincere prayer life that daily seeks God's guidance and a heart that is committed to surrendering to His will. When Denise and I got married in 1995, we were nearing the end of our seminary education. We were both employees of the seminary, and our mentors wanted us to stay and pursue a career in academia, but we knew God had called us to pastor a church. And so from the time we were married, we began praying that the Lord in His time would open the door to a local church. And after almost a year of praying, one of our professors walked into my office at the seminary one night, and he looked at me and he said, "I know where you belong." When he said those words to me, I knew that God was speaking through him. The rest, as they say, is history. And we just completed 27 years here at Harvest Time Church. Deo volente. In 2019, the Lord spoke to me very clearly in a prayer time. And he said to me, "Don't accept any invitations for overseas ministry in 2020, and don't receive any overseas ministry guests." Our twins graduated high school in 2020. They started college. And so I thought the Lord wanted me to just take a little sabbatical from traveling ministry, and so I could be there for my family, my kids, for Denise, as the kids finished high school and transitioned to a new chapter. And I think that is true. But, you know, the Lord also knew that the entire world would be putting their travel plans on hold in 2020 and for the years that followed. You see, in my place of prayer, God prepared me in advance for 2020. He prepared Harvest Time Church in advance for 2020, and we didn't lose ground in 2020. We gained ground in 2020. See, that's why it's good to invite God into our planning process. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God does. And He has your, somebody listen, God has your best interest at heart. He has your health at heart. He has your peace at heart. He has your safety at heart. He has your fruitfulness, your well-being at heart. This is a good word right here. I promise you, if you will acknowledge the Lord in your daily routines and decisions, you won't be in a panic when major life decisions come up. You will know what to do. God will guide you. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the right way to go." The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord will steady him with His hand. I want you to add DV to your prayer life. Deo Valenti. Add it. I pray. One thing I pray, I told you, is I pray David's prayer, search me, O God, know my heart, test my thoughts, examine my ways. But I want you to add DV, Deo Valente, to your prayers. Seek his will every day. And when the big decisions come up, you will know what to do. All right. Consider that horse beaten dead. Next point. A few things God cares about. He cares that we treat each other with love and honor, especially in the parking lot. He cares that we submit all of our plans and priorities to him. Finally, this, God cares that we conduct our financial affairs with integrity, fairness, and generosity. God cares that we conduct our financial affairs with integrity, fairness, and generosity. Chapter 4 addresses believers in the church. But the first few verses of chapter 5, James switches. He's addressing wealthy unbelievers, probably Jewish unbelievers, who live abroad outside of Israel. Because of the severe persecution in Jerusalem, James's sheep, the first believers from Jerusalem, the first Jewish believers, they were scattered throughout the entire Mediterranean world. Because they were Jews, they weren't welcomed by the Gentile nationals in the places that they sought asylum. And because they were believers in Jesus, the Jewish communities that were already established in those cities didn't warmly receive them either. Enterprising Jews living in those towns and cities gouged the Jewish refugees for rent and exploited them for cheap labor. They even brought them up on charges in front of the Roman government. James's words address wealthy unbelievers, but they're not the ones reading the letter. Christians are the ones reading the letter. So here's James's point. This is what unbelievers do. You do the opposite. Unbelievers hoard wealth. Unbelievers withhold fair compensation. If I could tell you the stories that I've heard in my office over the years about people you know, personalities in the news, people whose names you would readily recognize from the larger media, if I could tell you the stories of people who had compensation owed them, withheld by these people, they live extravagant, self-indulgent lives, and they persecute the righteous. James is saying to us, you, as a believer in Jesus, you do the opposite of those things. Now, listen, it's important to know that God is all in favor of financial prudence and financial acumen. There are literally hundreds of verses in the Bible about it. God is in favor of good money management. God is in favor of saving and investing. King Solomon said that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. How many of you know you're going to leave an inheritance not just for your kids, but for your grandkids? How many of you know it's going to require some financial planning? But it's very easy to cross the fine line from responsible saving to hoarding, and hoarding is addictive. Hoarding is counterproductive. The more you stash away, you begin to experience diminishing returns and even losses. In the first century AD, when James was writing, wealth was stored in the form of commodities, grain, wine, olive oil, salt was a valuable commodity. The word salary means salt money because Roman soldiers were paid in the commodity of salt. That's how valuable it was in the ancient world with no refrigeration. Fine fabrics, expensive couture. And here's what the Bible says. Jesus said it, Proverbs says it, James repeats it. Those things don't last, and even if they do last, you won't last. Some of you might be familiar with the mountain fortress Masada in southern Israel. Anybody else? We've been to Masada. We took a group from anybody been to Masada in southern Israel? In 73 AD, a group of 1,000 Jewish rebels held off the Roman army for 2 years at Masada. After basic training today, Israeli troops take their oath of service on top of Masada, and they repeat the phrase, Masada will never fall again. Masada was built by Herod the Great. That's the Herod that killed all the babies in Bethlehem after Christ was born. He was a brutal, paranoid megalomaniac. And Masada was just one of a whole chain of safe houses that he built across Israel in case his life was ever threatened. Listen to this. At Masada alone, Herod stored up enough food to sustain 10,000 people for 10 years. That's even more food than they have at the new Wegmans over there off of 287. But because food doesn't keep, they would change out all the provisions every year. So every year they would dump enough food to feed 10,000 people for 10 years and they would replace it again. That is the madness of hoarding. You know, Herod the Great never did eat. Not one bite from those provisions at Masada, nor from any of the safe houses he built. At the age of 69, he died from a horrific condition that caused gangrene in his private parts. And all God's people said, yikes. James says that without Jesus, this is as good as it gets for unbelievers. You might as well enjoy it, because after this life, if you don't have Christ, all there is to look forward to is judgment followed by misery. But we're called to be different in this world. God has called us to live with integrity and with a generous spirit. Listen, if you are an owner, if you are a manager of employees, God cares that we take care of hardworking people and give them what is due to them and give it to them on time. God cares that we pay vendors for services that they have rendered and that we pay them on time. And God cares that we're prudent with our money so that we have a little something to give others a hand up. God also cares that in these last days, worship team, help me. God also cares in these last days that we amply provide for those that are doing the work of bringing in the harvest of souls before Jesus returns. I'm going to finish with this and we're done. The rain's coming down. See, so you can go downstairs because you don't want to get wet. So by the time you get done at the Life Group Expo, the rain will be done. But listen, I'm going to finish with this. There is a dual message in these verses in James chapter 5. On one level, it's really about how we conduct our business affairs in this world. But James adds something that changes everything. He says, you have hoarded up wealth for yourself in the last days. And those words, in the last days, add a whole different dimension to this passage. Beyond earthly employees that may be in our care, that we may lead, God has harvesters in this world bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ before the curtain of human history closes. God cares that we, all of us together, supply what they need to complete their task. Let me finish with the words of King Solomon and we're done. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Don't say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give you something tomorrow, when you have it in your hand today. Beloved, listen, as the rain comes down, listen, and we're done. As we settle in after this summer, let's remember these three things that God cares about. Let's treat each other with honor and love. Let's submit all of our plans and priorities to Him. And let's conduct our affairs with integrity and with generosity. We'll be blessed if we do. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Oh, come on, let's give him a good praise today. It's not the U.S. Open, it's Pentecostal Church. Let's give him a good praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, listen. We have a life group expo, but if you're willing, let's just take a moment. We're going to worship and we're going to pray before we turn over and go downstairs. But if you're willing, would you step out of your seat, come join me here at the front, and we're just going to take one moment, worship the Lord and pray, and then we're going to go downstairs for Life Group Expo. We're going to sing that song we were singing earlier, Be Lifted Up, Be Lifted Higher. If you're coming down, come all the way forward so those coming behind you can find a place. Come on, April, help us out. Be lifted up. Him up in this place. Be lifted up, Jesus.
Be lifted up. Be lifted higher. Be lifted up. Be lifted higher.
Father, not our will, but yours be done daily, daily, daily. We seek your guidance, Lord. Daily, we seek your direction. Lord, we trust in you in all our footpaths, Lord. And we trust you to lead us in our highways. Let me pray for you for one moment. Father, I thank you for the people of God. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, thank you for your hand upon your people. Lord, I pray this week, God, that we would feel your presence all around us, Lord. Father, I pray you'd lead us, guide us, Lord, for every person that does have a major life decision, Lord, in front of them right now. Thank you for giving them the wisdom. Let them hear the voice of the Holy Spirit softly in their ear. This is the right way. Go this way, Lord. Make their steps firm, Lord. Father, even if we stumble, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to hold us in your tight grip and steady us, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. I thank you for good health for the people of God, Lord. I thank you for divine health, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for healing from every kind of injury, Lord, every kind of illness, every kind of disease problem, Lord Jesus. I thank you for good sleep for the people of God, Lord. Father, I thank you for peace in their hearts, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for no anxiety. You need to stop confessing anxiety. I have anxiety. You need to stop confessing that. You need to say, I have the peace of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people. Lift up your hands if you would. Just wiggle those fingers. Let everything they touch prosper. Everything they touch. The economy doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. When you belong to the Lord, you're part of the economy of heaven. His economy never, everything they touch, God, let it prosper. Lord, at work, peace in their work relationships, peace with colleagues, peace with employees, peace with bosses, peace with HR, peace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody give the Lord a good praise. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Auntie Terry and Uncle Brian, do you have something from the Lord today? I felt like you did. Auntie Terry, Pastor Nick, have you got anything? Where are you, Pastor Nick? I can't see you. He's somewhere. All right. Pastor Ruth, are you here? Do you have anything from the Lord for us? Any of our prophetic? I think my staff's all gone downstairs to get ready for the Life Group Expo. That's where they all are. So any of our recognized prophetic people in the congregation feel you have something from the Lord, you can come join us. All right. Go ahead, Terry.
Good afternoon. During worship this morning, I just sensed this overwhelming invitation from the Holy Spirit to step into the supernatural. That there are things that we're trying to do in the natural, that there's things we're kicking against in the natural. But I heard the Lord say that He's inviting us to believe Him for the supernatural. I know we all know that. We've all read it. But it's another thing to do it and to believe it. And I had a friend I was praying with the other day, and she was talking about, Lord, doesn't it bother you when it looks like you're losing? Meaning in the world, it seems that evil seems to be winning at times. He said, no, because I never do. And I thought, wow, that is so true, that God doesn't lose. There may be a battle, but he overcomes and he wins. So I just feel that this is a word for all of us. I also sense that there's one or two here that have a legal situation that you're struggling with, and it may be just, it may be unjust, but I'm just here to tell you to trust the Lord to intervene on your behalf so that what is crooked, what is a mess, what is complex, that the Holy Spirit can make straight and work on your behalf. So Lord, we just trust you. Lord, we accept your invitation today to step into the supernatural. We trust you, Lord, no matter what comes tomorrow. Like we heard Pastor say, we don't know what's coming tomorrow, Lord. And we say, God willing, Lord, have your way. But Lord, we trust in the name of Jesus that you have the victory. The darkest day in history was also the greatest day ever in victory. And we thank you for the victory of the cross. We thank you, Lord, that because of what you did, we can step into the supernatural and trust you and look to you. And trust not in our own circumstances, our own ability, but we can look to you for the supernatural strength and power in every and all situation. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that impartation. We thank you for that reminder. And we say yes in Jesus' name.
Amen. Listen, that word is for you about the legal. There's a little hand attached to your heart. Dr. Robin, you don't know what's there, but it's there. There's a little hand attached to your heart. It's called faith. And when you hear a word, when a word is spoken, I want you to, if it applies to you, I want you to reach out with that little hand called faith and pull it into your heart and stand on it, believe it, receive it, and God will do miracles in your life. All right, sing one more time, Be Lifted Up. After we're done singing, go downstairs, zip downstairs, join a life group, join a Be Light serve team. God bless you, everybody. Lord be with you. Thanks, worship team.